Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 22. And we have our responsive reading, verses 22 to 29. I will read verse 22 and the even-numbered verses and ask you to read the odd-numbered verses as we go through verse 29. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Thank you, Lord. Make this message alive to us. These are powerful words. Stir us up and bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Previously, Jesus miraculously multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men. And there are also women and children there. And that night, he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Remember last week, they encountered a strong wind. The sea became rough. They became fearful. And Jesus came walking out on the water. It was a real ghost story. They thought it was a ghost. There's Jesus walking on water, another miracle. He enters the boat. Here's another miracle. When you read that text from last week, he entered the boat and the wind ceased immediately. And the other miracle is the boat was where it was going. It was already there. Wow. So in Jesus, we have our peace. And he'll get us where he wants us to be. Trust in him. And then in verse 22, we read, "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which the disciples entered, and Jesus didn't enter with them, and they had gone away alone. However, the boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread, for the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus." So we're given a very specific time. It's the next day after the miracle of multiplying the bread and the fish. There's a lot of people that just love the miracles and the signs. But does it really change a life? Is that what Jesus wants us to follow? The great miracle worker. Crowds were following Jesus, multitudes. I can tell you today, if we see someone starting to multiply bread and walking on water and doing many miracles, there'd be a great number of people following them. People love those things. But that's not why Jesus came. He did those signs and miracles, it tells us in John, to show that he was the Son of God, had the power of God, so that people would believe in him as the Messiah and be saved. Drew them to him so he could share the gospel and they could be saved. So the next day, after these miracles, the people gathered to see Jesus, probably no doubt to see what he would do. Hey, what else is Jesus going to do? But they noticed something unusual. There was only one boat available that night to go to the other side of the sea. And his disciples entered it But he stayed back, remember, and he dealt with the multitudes, then went up to pray. He didn't get in the boat to go to the other side. The disciples used it to get where they were going. So the people are wondering. They noticed that, you know, that he didn't enter the boat, and the disciples are gone, and they're wondering, well, where's he? Where's Jesus? Where is he? Then later, you know, other boats came, it tells us, from Tiberias the next day, and people got into them. So they're chasing after Jesus and wondering, where is he? He didn't get into that boat. They're out there. Where is he? So they're seeking Jesus, but for what reason? See, many people seek Jesus for different reasons. They want a healing. They want their marriage better. They want a child. They need money. There's problems. And they think, well, I've tried everything else. Let's try the Lord. He's not Santa Claus. Jesus is the Son of God. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Our greatest need is to be saved from the penalty of sin. Because we're all sinners, the Bible says, we're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think that's one verse we can say, all of us can say, amen. We're all sinners. That's one thing we have in common here today. We're all sinners. We don't have to put on our best clothes, look nice, and walk here with a Bible and look very holy. You're still a sinner. But thank God, a sinner saved by grace. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I've done a lot of bad. Well, we don't need to know what you've done. God does. And he paid for that sin. Isn't that great? All of it. It's one thing we have in common. We're sinners saved by grace. So in verse 20, they're wondering where he is, but in verse 23, it tells us other boats then came in near where the miracle was, where he multiplied the bread. And so in verse 24, the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, you know, where he performed the miracle, nor his disciples, because they got into the boat, into the boats and came to Capernaum, and they're seeking Jesus. Where is he? You know, are they truly seeking him, or what he's doing among them? Feeding the 5,000. They're probably thinking, hey, if I follow this guy, I'll never be hungry. He multiplies food, and there's leftovers. Do you like leftovers? I like leftovers, if it's good food. So they get in. When they found him on the other side of the sea. So they eventually go to the other side of the sea because there were other boats there. Well, maybe he's over there. Somehow he got there. So they go over to the other side of the sea, and they found him. And they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? We didn't see you get into the boat with those guys. When did you get here? The immediate question, when did you come here? How did you do this? There were no other boats available. Do you wish Jesus would have said, I swam? Or I walked on water? I decided to walk. So I walked on the water. After all Jesus had done, they didn't understand that he could do anything. No big deal to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He could do that. Whatever's going on in your life today, my life, Jesus can handle it. Remember the problem last week? Oh, ye of little faith, he said. We've got to have a lot of faith. We've got to believe in Jesus that he can do anything. So they ask him these things, and he answers them in a funny way. He doesn't answer their direct question, but he gives them truth that they need to hear. He gives them words which be life to them, that'll help them. He answers their deepest need. Jesus does that in the book of John, you'll notice that. He speaks truth about eternal life, and he leads people to faith in him. He draws people out, and he's teaching all the time, but he draws people out so that they will believe in him. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to him and asked him a question, you know, how you get to the kingdom of God, and he said, you know, hey, wait a minute, let's not get into a deep discussion. You must be born again. You know, that's an example to us. We need to be direct with people. They may have needs, hurting, but they need to be told, your answer is Jesus, but not for only the healing or to meet your need, because you need him for forgiveness of sin, and he wants to give you life here and eternal life in heaven. That's what he wants to give you, more than you could ask. So you need to come to him, you know. Well, you could ask, but not with faith. So he wants to give you faith to believe in him so that he can provide your greatest need. He doesn't get caught up with conversations, long conversations. Sometimes we get into these long conversations with people and trying to prove everything to them. All they need to know is, you must be born again. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but through him. And what God does with you after you really receive him into your life, that's up to God and you. I don't know if he's going to heal you or take care of you or move you or have you stay. I have no idea, but I know that he will be in your life and he will give you the best life you can have here, and you will spend eternal life with him in heaven forever. The older you get, the more you realize life is short, don't you? Life is short. When I was 16, I knew everything. I didn't think there was anything more to know in life. My parents didn't know anything. I knew everything. 21, we're old people. Then you can't wait to be 21 and you're 21. So you can go out and party and do everything you want to do in life. 30s are over the hill. And then you go on and on and on, and then you get older in life and you realize, boy, life is short. It is. Compared to infinity, to eternity, forever and ever. We want to be sure we have insurance that we have Jesus, so we're spending eternity in the right place, because it's going to come. And there's only one or two places to go. You want to be sure you go to the right place. And that's heaven. It's a wonderful place. So he answers him in verse 26. He answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He knows what's in a person's heart. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But you can never fool Jesus. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking right now. Where are we going to go for lunch? Got to go to a place we can eat outside. He knows if you're thinking that right now. He knows if you're thinking about the problem you had this morning or the conversation you had coming to church. He knows what you're thinking right now. Oh, I don't know that I believe that. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Does that scare you or does that make you happy that he knows you in your heart? It's good that he knows you. Because if there's things in her that need to be addressed, he will deal with you and draw you close to him. Just respond. But he knows, he knew what was in these people. And he said, you're seeking me, you're running after me, you're following me because you saw the signs, the miracles in me multiplying the food. You ate of the loaves and were filled. That's, you just want to be filled. You want your personal things taken care of here by me. Verily, verily, it means most assuredly. Listen up. Not because of the sign, not because of me. You're seeking me because of the signs. Your bellies were filled, and that's what you want me for. They saw the signs, but they didn't understand what they were for. That is showing the power of God, and that they should have been drawn in because he was the Messiah. It tells us that in John 20. I did these so that you would believe, and by believing, you would enter heaven. That's why he did them. He knows the heart and the intent of man. He knows our motivations for doing things, even spiritual things. He knows the motivation. Is it for glory or fame or money? Or is it because I'm a servant of the Lord and I love the Lord? Is it because I want to be seen of men as a good person? Or is it because I want my belly filled or my needs met? Is that why I follow Jesus? He knows the heart. He knows our intent. He knows the motivations. They weren't really seeking him as the Messiah and life. There are two messages in our text today. The number one is, why do you seek Jesus? And the second message is, what is it, the work that God requires of me? Why are they seeking Jesus? He tells them in verse 26, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And whatever that is in your life or my life or anybody's life out there, why are we seeking Jesus? Some people, because I want to feel a little spirituality in my life because that's cool today. And I'm not into yoga. It's a little too tough for me. Or meditation, that takes too long. This sounds pretty good. I'll have a little bit of this. Or is it because of prosperity? Or as I said, healing or whatever in your life, because there's something you lack or something you want to get rid of. We need to challenge ourselves. Did I come to church this morning because I love the Lord? Is Jesus first in my life? Is he my first love? Remember what he said in the book of Revelation? I know your works, all that you do, all that you're involved in, good things, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. We can only have one first love. That's Jesus. He must be first. Otherwise, we will find ourselves compromising at times. Putting family first, people first, money first, job first, profession first, myself first. We'll find ourselves compromising at times if he is not first. If he is first, I can tell you this, if the Lord is first in your life, your decisions will be easier to make. And he will take care of the other things, the relationships, the finances, the health. He will bring about his will in your life. We're not out living here to pursue that. We're here to pursue Jesus, the Lord, our God. Worship him. That's why we're here. Is that why we're here this morning? Or is it to feel some obligation or feeling good about yourself? Knowing most of you, I believe you're here because you love the Lord. And that's great. The best place you could be. Giving the Lord his time, worshiping the Lord and hearing his word. And when you're hearing his word, like we teach it here, it's really God speaking to you. And hopefully I do a good job at that and let him do that and not get in the way. I'm just a vessel, I should be, like the glass. I'm not the water. Jesus is the living water. I'm just carrying his message. And that's all that a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, a servant of the Lord should be. Just the vessel. Carrying the word of God, truth, to people so that God can speak to you. Isn't that great? I hope you've come here to hear from God today. Even if you don't know the Lord, I'm glad you came here to hear God today because he can get your attention. I can't. I could get you emotional for a period of time, could tell stories, maybe make you weep, but only God can touch you on the inside so that when you leave here, you'll be different. You'll be serving the Lord because he speaks to you. Isn't that wonderful? This is God speaking to you today. That's wonderful. You know, many times as I deliver a message, while I'm doing it, God is speaking to me. And that's a little tough. Did you ever try doing two things at once? I have a hard time doing two things at once. I can be speaking to you and God's speaking to me, and I try to focus back on teaching. Even today, he's done that a couple times already. I've shared things that I didn't know I was going to share. Isn't that interesting? Praise the Lord. And maybe you walk out of here today and say, God meant that message for me. You're right. He did. Because I didn't know you were going to be here. But he knew you were going to be here. Isn't that wonderful? And he says, I'm going to speak to them. I hope Jim's listening so that I can just talk to them and speak to them and speak to him. You know, sometimes you may go home after hearing the Lord speak to you at church, and maybe you feel busted, like, oh, that really hit me. I do too. I'll say, oh, man, that message was for me. They asked, see, why are they seeking Jesus? They asked, you remember they asked when and how he came? He answered why they came. When and how are important, why you come. Why is important. Why do you come to the Lord? Why you came to church today? Why you worship? Not important when and how. Oh, I came at 9:25 and I was driving this car. Irrelevant. Why did you come? Why do I come to the Lord? They personally found it handy to have Jesus around. I don't have to go to the grocery store. Don't have to wear a mask, get out there, go to the grocery store with people. Jesus will just deliver like he did the other day. That's why they came. This is great having Jesus around. You know, he gives you free meals, makes water into wine. He can even raise the dead. Good guy to have around. See, Jesus rejects those who seek him with wrong motivation. He doesn't accept that. But I've gone to church faithfully every Sunday for 30 years of my life. But why did you go? Is what Jesus asks. It is wrong for us to encourage people to come to Jesus with wrong motivations. Sometimes we want people so saved, you know, especially loved ones and family members. We so want them to be in heaven. You know, we almost want to push them in. We even make excuses for them and their behavior. But we can't. Only God can draw people and save them. But we have wrong motivations, and we'll get into, well, if you just give your life to Jesus, I know he'll heal this in your life, or he'll take care of you. We don't know that. We don't know that it is wrong to tell someone, if you just give your life to Jesus, your life will be better today. We can't say that because we don't know that their life here on earth will be any better today. They may wake up tomorrow, and whatever they had will be worse. But it's part of God's plan. See, but when we come for the fish and the bread and the miracles and things, we'll get discouraged at the Lord when he doesn't provide. God doesn't love me. He didn't answer my prayer. Prayer is to get God's will done on this earth, not our will done on this earth. And he rejects those that come with wrong motivation. And we shouldn't encourage others to come for some other reason. We need to share, you're a sinner, you need forgiveness of sin. I want to spend eternity with you in heaven because I love you. So please give your life to Jesus. He's the only one that can get you a reservation there. The only one. But I'm a good person. Not good enough. Not good enough. You could be the most wonderful person on earth, but if you're not born again, you don't end up in heaven. I wish it were different. I could stand up here today and tell everyone that. But I need to tell everyone truth. We come to Jesus because he's the Savior and we need forgiveness of sin. He's the Messiah. It shouldn't be, come to church, we got free donuts today. Or veggies, wherever you're at. We got a salad bar and we got a dessert bar. We got coffee, or we got this green stuff over here. Whatever you want. Come to our church. Flowers for every woman. Great speaker. And this elaborate music band. Come. We can't water down the gospel. People should walk into a place of worship to worship the Lord and hear him speak and worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we come, for the Lord. We must not point people to Jesus for a better this or a better job or a better that or for wealth. Come to him for salvation. God can heal marriages. God can heal your disease. God can take care of your financial situation. Those we call blessings. And God gives us blessings, doesn't he? He gives us a good life. But that's not the reason we come. Because once they stop, will you change and get bitter at God? You know, it's been said, when you're going through a trial, you're either going to get bitter or better. You want to get better. Keep your eyes on the Lord and trust him. The life of a true Christian is glorious. But if one doesn't come for forgiveness of sin and a steadfast faith in the Lord, they probably will fail. Verse 26, he said, "You're seeking me because you ate and were filled. You really didn't see what the signs were for, pointing to who I am." You know what blesses me when I see true saints, many of you out there. We've had a lot of this, you know, problems or tribulation or trials in our church over the years, even the past year. Sick, other kinds of things. But it blesses me when I see you, the saints, and saints all around go through hardship and praise the Lord and stay steadfast in the Lord. What an encouragement that is. You know, maybe sometime you feel you're useless. What can I do? I'm sick. I'm hurt. I have this disability. I can't serve. I can't do this. But I love the Lord. And you support things and you're there in church and all. You're doing enough just by your presence. Because that's a testimony that you love the Lord through, for better or for worse. Just like in a marriage. For better or for worse. I'm married to Jesus. I'm the bride of Christ. And I'm going to continue to praise him and serving him. You're doing a lot just by being a witness. You'll never feel, I don't know that I'm doing enough or can do enough or because of things in my life, I don't have time to serve or do this. You're serving the Lord by being faithful in what you have and what you have been given in life. You're faithful. That's a ministry in itself. What a blessing to talk to people that are in that position. You're not demanding or looking for people to serve you. You just love the Lord. It's a blessing. That's where the joy is. He says, he's telling his people, you just don't get it. Did you ever talk to someone and you say to yourself, they just don't get it? And they don't. They don't get it. It's frustrating. And he tells them in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, hey, don't worry about that food, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. He tells him, don't labor, that work is really working and laboring for the temporal things in life, but seek the eternal, everlasting life, which I will give you if you truly follow me. Chase after me for spiritual life with more zeal than the zeal you have for chasing after life here. Have that passion for me that you do for the things of the earth. Get to know Jesus more. I will give you everlasting life. Chase after that food which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. I am the way. Don't labor for food that perishes. That word means toil. You know how we toil and strive for things here at times? Don't. Trust the Lord. Doesn't mean you get lazy. Jesus isn't saying don't work. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. But it doesn't become your life, wanting more and more and more. We do a good job. But we never displace the Lord because I want more money or more work. He's first. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Just do not use your, be the supreme reason for living for the things of the earth. You know, as it's been said, we eat to live. We don't live to eat. We eat to live. We don't make eating our life. And that's where these people were. Don't let the possessions, the food, the flesh, be your reason for existence. Let's turn to Matthew 6:25, please. 6:25. Jesus is speaking. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't worry about those things. Life is more than that, than our existence here. We need to see eternity in heaven compared to this little speck on earth. That is so long and so great to be in heaven. If we run into each other like a million years down the road, you'll say, boy, that's true. Look at how great it is here in heaven. I'm glad we went through what we had to go through on earth and stood fast in the Lord, because it is worth it, being in heaven. I know this, if the dead could talk, and any dead, believer or unbeliever, say anyone that ever died could come back and give you a message, whether they were a believer or an unbeliever, and you're a Christian, they would come back, and I don't care who they were, a believer or unbeliever, they would say to you, it's all true. Get right with God. The problem is it's too late then. They would all tell you the same thing. It's true. It's better in heaven. It's horrible here. Know this, God will take care of his children. You know, Paul had to work and minister at first. He made tents, ministered. That's the way God worked it out for him. When I started out in the ministry for a while, I worked when we planted a church back east, worked from my home, planted a church. It happens. But if your reason is for the Lord, for living, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to do what it takes. And then eventually God provides for you in some way, and just through the ministry at times. These people are laboring to see Jesus. But they cross the sea to see him, all for the wrong reasons. How shallow to live for the things that perish. Labor all week, party on weekends, and go to church on Sunday. Wrong reason. Seek the spiritual. Matthew chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark 8, verse 34. When Jesus, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit us if we gained everything we ever wanted here but lost our soul? You know what would profit you? Nothing. We put our effort and time into the Lord. Back to our text, verse 27, don't labor for the food which perishes, but chase after that everlasting life which can come through Jesus. He's telling the crowd that don't let your life be about the here and now. Seek spiritual food, and I'm here to bring you spiritual food. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, and you'll never hunger if you have him. I look back at my life, and maybe you can, and you say, why did I spend so much time and energy and money on empty things and things that perish and may have perished already? Why in the world do we do that? Do you ever feel like that's the way you feel a lot before you have the Lord? If I only had this, I'll be happy. And you get it, and yeah, it's kind of old now. It's been a month. Nothing can fill that vacuum in the flesh. It'll be more and more and more. If I just had that. And then when you get it, you say, well, if I just didn't have this or that person, I'd be a lot better off. You know? You can never fill that vacuum inside of you. Stuff never satisfies. People are lonely and empty. And we all need to know we are empty without the Lord. He satisfies, He fills. One thing I really don't like is going to a restaurant, spending a lot of money, they give you a little portion, and you hate the food. Don't you hate those places? They're the fancy places. Hey, yeah, we're going out to a fancy place today. Oh, you mean we're going to spend a lot of money, get a little amount of food and hate it, and go and stop at McDonald's or something after? No, let's just go to our regular place. You know, that's the way it is. You can, you know, you can spend a lot of money. You get a little out of life. You're wasting your time. God knows what's best for me. He fills. Don't you like it when you go to a place, you get a good amount, and it's delicious, and you say, I'm full. That was good. That's what happens when you get Jesus. Hey, that's it. Jesus, He filled me up. That's great. Now, so He says, you notice He said in verse 27, don't labor for those things that you're going to leave behind. The word labor, when He said that, labor and work, it caught the people's attention. Oh, labor and work. Why did it catch their attention? Because there are a lot of people that don't come to Jesus because they feel that calls for a commitment, a change of your life, and it requires faith. People would love to have something that you could work for and attain because then you deserve it. You see the difference? I'd rather labor and work for if it's heaven or for whatever, because then I know it's possible to achieve on my own terms. And I don't have to change my life. But Jesus, that's faith, change of life, different perspective, might cause me to get rid of some things. Nah, I'd rather work for it. So many people try to work their way to heaven by doing good works, doing certain things. That caught their attention, labor or works, because they said in verse 28, then they said to Him, wait a minute, Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Hey, I like that. What do we need to labor for? What do we need to work for to please God that we may work the works of God? It will be pleasing to God, be doing His work. What is that work that He wants me to do that I could do? I don't do windows, but anything else is fine. You know, what is it that He wants me to do? Man is always trying to work things out, work for favor with God. Jesus said, labor, work for the food which endures to everlasting life. And they're thinking about working their way to God. And they're thinking of the law and the ordinances at this time. They're going to pin Jesus down as, what is it that I can really do to have this everlasting life, this work of God? What can I do? What shall we do, they say in verse 28, to do what He wants me to gain everlasting life? See, we people like to feel we can contribute to everything. Do you ever feel like that? You like to contribute to something, even if your husband or wife says, no, I can handle this. You don't have to help me. But you like to help, don't you? At least let me manage. You're right there over their shoulder. You like to be part of it. We like to contribute, feel like, ah, I had part of it, be part of it. You're earning your way so you can boast. So they're asking, how can I reach God? Remember in Luke 18, the rich young ruler? He did the same thing. He came to Jesus and he said, what do I have to do to attain eternal life in heaven? You know, enter the kingdom of God. That's what he asked. What did Jesus say? He gave him the commandments. And he comes back and he says, I did them all, so I'm okay. What else is required? Jesus says, go and sell all that you have and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he knew all that he did didn't matter. He didn't have enough faith to give up everything he had and follow Jesus. It's not that giving up everything you have will get you to heaven. It's that that's not your purpose for living anymore, is what Jesus is telling him. If you really have faith in me, and you're not working your way to heaven by being a good boy here, here, and here, but if you want to get to heaven, you have to have faith in me and follow me and be willing to put everything else aside. He couldn't do it. You see the difference? Rather, he would have rather found a way to work his way to God than give it all up, because he's probably thinking, I can still do all of this, follow Jesus, and keep all I got. Sounds like a good deal. But when he starts to tell me, I can't keep all I got and follow him, that I can't do. So Lot would like to work their way to heaven. They'd be able to come to Jesus on their own terms so they could boast. Stand before God one day and say, I deserve to get into heaven. And there are going to be people that are going to do that. That's why it tells us in that great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, God's going to open the books of everything we ever did in life. Not us. We Christians are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're in the book of life. We're not judged by those books of the works. They're going to open up and go through your life. That's got to be an embarrassing moment. And you never received Jesus. He's right in judgment, because we're all sinners. He's just. But man would love to be on their own terms. What does he answer them in verse 29? Then Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Here's the answer. What is the work of God that God requires of every person? That you believe in him whom he sent. Wow. It's like Jesus saying, you must be born again. You got to believe in me. That's the only work of God that God gives us to do. And it's not work at all, is it? One is work, it's the flesh. The other is spirit, faith. One is work, one is faith. One is flesh, one is spirit. Great difference. They asked, what work that I need to labor for? He says, believe in me. Have faith in me. God has already done the work, or is going to do the work. And he did when Jesus went to the cross. You just believe in that work on the cross, that Jesus died for you. You believe in Jesus. You notice they asked him, what may we work to do the works of God? Works plural. And Jesus gives them singular. This is the work of God. One's singular, one's plural. You can do a lot of stuff over here, not get in. You can do one thing over here and get in. What sounds better? The work that's already done. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. We are saved by grace, by faith, and it's not of works, so that no one can boast. So we choose the work of God. We live here, work here, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Be passionate for the Lord. Labor, and it's not really labor, it's just standing in our faith for the Lord and be satisfied. Maybe today the Lord's speaking to you and he's saying, you've got to let go. You don't need to work your way to me. Just come because you love me. Meet with me daily. Worship me because you love me. Do you ever like to see your family or your children when they choose to do it? When they choose to stay apart, you kind of, I wish they would. You think our Father in heaven is any different? wish they'd talk with me today. Spend some time with me. We could have great fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity to hear you. We just pray today that these words we read would be planted in our heart. We pray that you would create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.